And welcome to episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd. Joining me today is Wario Will.
Okay, I got my four-time zoom camera here. Get ready to go to the lensal region. Recording? Sorry. Because like now Pokemon Snap, new Pokemon Snap release just came out right now. I'm just getting ready to get my trip ready on right now. So yeah, forgive me if I'm a little busy here. So yes, I'm gonna cap.
Yeah, and say it right, Will. It's new Pokemon Snap.
I'm sorry. Again, it's been 20 years.
It has.
20 bloody years.
It's been 24.
Oh, it's not 24 yet, but it's close. So, but yes, Pokemon Snap, at the time of this release of the podcast, is out. We hope you are already getting your full Pokemon Snap on. We will be reviewing this on the website. I will be reviewing this on the website, obviously. And I look forward to sharing my thoughts with you and hearing your own thoughts on Pokemon Snap.
So. Yes, definitely. We'll be getting myself. Yes.
So naturally, that we'll be talking about a lot next week in terms of what I thought and what Will thought. And maybe, oh yeah, where's Tyler? Where
Tyler?
Is that man?
Tyler?
So, yeah, funny story. Tyler has family in Australia. And so he was told to go down under, and so he took a submarine to get there. And I'm just joking. I was gonna weave this for a while, and let's just get over it. Tyler was having some technical issues with his headset, and so he literally couldn't be able to talk on the podcast. And even though I would just love to have him on here to riddle him endlessly while he can't talk back, we're just gonna do a two-man show tonight. So we'll get it all started off with, what have you been playing? I'll go first because I am still playing my Phoenix Wright trilogy playthrough, which feels even more prevalent because of last week's news of the great Ace Attorney Chronicles release coming out in July. And yep, still enjoying the game. I'm on the ending case of the second one, Justice for All. So farewell my turnabout for all you Ace Attorney aficionados out there. This is actually one of the best cases in my opinion, not just because of the various elements, but because it really dives into the question of what is the law. And at times I find it more very hilarious that a video game understands the law more than, you know, the real world, but I digress. I mean, for the record, I do not feel that a 3-day court system would work in our world for various reasons. But at some point, I'd actually be willing to try. You know, especially for like lower, what do you call it, priority, like, you know, very simple cases, like 3 days and you're out.
Low offense cases.
Yeah, like thievery, muggings, cases like credible eyewitnesses. Notice to say credible eyewitnesses, okay? Because if you just say eyewitnesses, then anything could be taken as that. I could be an eyewitness to a crime that I didn't see. It happens all the time. So, but, you know, I feel it could work. So I've actually had to think about this because I'm like, could this actually work? And then I remembered that even in the Phoenix Wright world, they admitted that most people who are tried under the system get found guilty. So it's like, maybe not.
Yeah.
And obviously for like bigger cases like murders and like terrorist attacks and whatever, you could not do this because you would need the time to, you know, get the evidence, present the case, you know, yada yada yada.
Right, but, like, such a case like grand larceny,
yeah,
all those like the big top cases you hear.
Yeah, the ones where you need the time, because like half the problem with the court system in Phoenix Wright, in terms of the story, is that, you know, a murder happens and then like the next day the court begins. It's like, that's not a lot of time. And Phoenix is never afraid to admit that. So yeah, that wouldn't work in our current world, but I'd be willing to try just to see how it goes for a little bit. So, but anyway, I'm enjoying that game. It's a lot of fun. And I've been playing, of course, Fire Emblem Heroes. I got all the orbs for the Tempest Trials. I'm at 460 orbs currently.
Oh, nice. Okay, yeah. Okay.
I thought about going after Sigurd in the Legendary Banner. I decided against it. And then and then they did the Choose Your Legends Rewind, if you will.
Yes. Yes.
I got all those golden tickets. I got every single one of them. Did I get one of those 12 characters? Nope!
Really? Wow.
I got one 5-star character. It was the horseman, the sword horseman Reinhardt, who I honestly had not gotten.
Oh, okay.
But I'm just like, there are still some Choose Your Legends characters I don't have. All right? And I hate that. I don't have Elwood. I don't have Roy.
Okay.
I don't have... I know there's like one. Oh, I don't have a Celica.
Yeah.
Her OG outfit, Celica.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I want these characters. The only ones I have a complete set of, ironically, are the Three Houses characters. I got lucky and I got all of them.
Right.
So I was just mad because, like, you give us all those tickets and I still lose. How?
yeah, I guess I probably shouldn't say, but yeah, well, I only spent some of my tickets. I actually got another Brave Ike, which I did for a merge, as well as I got another I got a 5-star Celica out of it, normal Celica. So it is definitely weird how the RNG gods have been, because I pretty much got mostly all of the Brave Shoes of Legends. The only one I have not gotten is a Brave Micaiah. That one, she still eludes me. So
I don't think I have her either. I don't know. I know I have regular Micaiah and Yune Micaiah.
No. Yeah.
I don't remember now, so I have to look it up. But yeah, and that's why I'm stacking my orbs so that whatever the next main banner is, I am ready, and I will definitely get at least one.
Well, heck, we're approaching that summer season now, and they said the Choose Your Legends number 5 is coming in the summer. So once that Brave Gatekeeper comes out,
yes,
that is the time to go. It's time to sell, boys. It's time to sell.
Yeah,
it's time to sell those orbs.
Yeah. And when that time comes, we all know who is going to come crawling back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Tyler, of course. If you didn't hear from a past podcast, he has for the second time now forsaken Fire Emblem Heroes, and he claims that he will not come back. But as our loyal viewers will know, he has come back. And then he goes, oh, I love this game, and, you know, it feels so fresh now. And then he left, because he's like, oh, this game's so boring, you know, it's the same content over and over again. And so, but yeah, me and Will have a bet with Tyler that he will come back when the gatekeeper comes, just so he can say he got him. So, yeah, he'll be back.
Yeah.
He'll be back.
Yeah, that I'll be waiting for.
And we will ride him until he breaks when that happens. Because you'll be like, oh, but Tyler, I thought you were over it. I thought you didn't. You thought it was boring and there was no point playing it anymore.
I'm getting the image right now from that Simpsons episode. Like, don't forget, you're here forever.
Yeah. Yep. I know.
Come crawling back.
Yeah. I know exactly what episode you're talking about. But, or as I put it, hey, Professor, nothing to report except for Tyler crawling back!
Yep. I cannot wait. Cannot wait.
And when that happens, Will, you know exactly the sound clip to play for that moment.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be so good. And I know Tyler's listening to this because he always listens to the rewind. And Tyler, I just want to make it clear, we're not laughing with you, we're laughing at you. So, all right, but that's honestly all I've been playing, but because I'm waiting patiently to get Pokemon Snap. New Pokemon Snap.
I really hate that now we have to go put the new. I mean, there's Pokemon Snap and there's new Pokemon Snap. Like, geez Louise, I know there's a one word difference, but come on.
I know. I'm honestly, like, let's talk about it really quick. Why do you think they just called it new Pokemon Snap? I mean, was Pokemon Snap 2 just odd? Could they not think of a better title? Was it because it's been 20 years? Like, why do you think they just decided to call it new Pokemon Snap?
I cannot help but wonder what was in the drawing, the R&D department doing. Like, okay, we gotta name the next Pokemon Snap. New Pokemon Snap? Perfect! Like, really? That's the best thing you could do? I don't know. Like, I'd probably go for the whole Smash Bros. One. Like, Pokemon Snap Lento or Pokemon Snap Renewal? Something? I don't know. Something along those lines or something like that.
Or maybe, or even just add to it, like, new Pokemon Snap Adventures.
Sure. I mean, like, I still feel like there's at least like a better subtext, yeah, after Pokemon Snap or before that. But yeah, but why? But new Pokemon Snap? Jeez, that's gonna be confusing as heck. Like, no, we don't want the original 64 version. We want the new Pokemon Snap. New Pokemon Snap. Yeah, now I'm getting confused myself.
Yeah. It's just, I understand why they call it, because it is. It's a new Pokemon Snap game, but we could do better. I feel like we could do better. So, such is life. But Will, what have you been playing?
So just to compliment on the Fire Emblem Heroes, yes, I have been more or less grinding up the orbs, and I have actually have gotten Sigurd. And I just gotta say that artwork is just amazing, because like when I some of them, and actually basically did his leveling up skills, so that like it's almost like the fact that he's almost transparent, like he is a spirit. Because again, we all know what happened to him, unfortunately. But just
Burn, baby, burn. Just go and
the,
burn
like,
out.
yeah. But the artwork kind of really reflects that very well. I mean, it's almost like he is a spirit, but he's in the physical realm to help. In phase, just like amazing. So props to the artwork. That is just amazing. And the fact that his skills is just okay. All you just can basically get an extra move space, which is like, oh my god, how that is gonna be so broken for extra movements. Movement, so yeah, it's gonna be very dangerous when you're facing Sigurd. So magic ball pull that off. So right now, it's like I only did about like roughly like 30 orbs, like 30 plus orbs or so. So thankfully, RNG God was with me. So I'm just like, okay, I got Sigurd, I'm good, and just like wait for the obviously choose it is fine. Right now, I'm sitting nearly at 700 orbs right now, so I'm just doing that. But of course, naturally, the most notable thing that I've been playing is naturally continuing Monster Hunter Rise, because the recent update 2.0 came out with new monsters, which I actually have played before the podcast. And gotta say, going up those Monster Hunter ranks and facing Camellios, Camellios, like I know if they play, but like veterans can have to face them, but me, I haven't played in such a long time, and facing Camellios. This Elder Dragon, hi, a poison Elder Dragon that just like really more or less can easily two-shot you. It's like, jeez, he is a challenge. But thankfully, I actually managed to go and knock him out. We actually got some gems out of it. So overall, he is a worthy foe, but he is doable. Just gotta really be on your toes. So that's why I've been mostly up, continuing on with all Monster Hunter ranks, and also just a little bit on the on. Offline things again, because I actually just managed to go and get my copy of Askiwata, which is from published by Viz Media, and I have managed to go and read a little bit of it of Askiwata, and just like reading the wisdom from the late Iwata is just, yeah, it is just very insightful of like how Iwata has run the company. I mean, not be too solemn, but yes, like reading all his past interviews, and of course, naturally that famous qu quote from him of like, "In my business card, I'm a corporate president. In my mind, I am a game maker, but in my heart, I'm a gamer." Which, yeah, that still rings so true. It still rings resonates with many gamers out there. So yeah, Askiwata, I highly recommend getting that book if you just want to see, basically see and basically rekindle the memories of Satoru Iwata. So highly recommend you get it in your local bookstore.
Yeah, he was gone too soon.
I know, I
Far,
know.
far too soon.
I know, yeah.
Yeah.
So but yeah, but and everything it says, like the book itself is just like it really just speaks leagues about him. I mean, sure, it's just basically about it's not again, as many reviews probably said, it's nothing about like giving insight to how he runs Nintendo, but basically just the mindset of basically how human he is, especially in these time in the game industry now. Like you won't have another person like Iwata anymore now, which sad is kind of sad when you think about it.
Very, very sad. All right. Well, with that, we'll now head into the news, which honestly has been kind of robust for this week, which probably should be why Tyler should have been here, but he's not. So, it's time to go down the warp pipe. And first up, we have the Monster Hunter Direct. Will, would you please take this away?
So yes, the recent Monster Hunter Direct has has been presented this past week. And it basically showed off more news regarding to Monster Hunter Stories 2, as well as the update of 2.0, which is currently out right now for Monster Hunter Rise. I won't delve too much into Monster Hunter Stories 2 because I'm not too familiar. Basically, it introduced in more story, the gameplay, basically of the RPG mechanics, of how it basically pays tribute to the first game and as well as the series itself. So Tatapo, all that. Basically, it was like very akin to traditional RPGs. And they introduced this, like the special editions with three different amiibos, basically all nice little goodies and all that. But of course, naturally, a lot of people who watch the direct is mostly excited for Monster Hunter Rise 2.0, which is a lot of things they added, from basically reworked mechanics, layered armor customizations they could finally make, as well as different new DLC packs for buys, but also just like the new, mostly it's just the new monsters, from Basilgeist, which is the best way I could describe it is basically a lizard who can dive bomb you carpet bomb? Yeah, basically carpet bomb hunters, which is quite fearsome foe. Of course, naturally, and as I said earlier before, Camellios, which, yeah, if you have face Camellios, he is a pain in the butt. But also, there's one more I forgot his name, but basically, he's also a very famous Elder Dragon. I'm sorry, Monster Hunter fans, please don't hang me. But yeah, he's also in this game now, which he's got, basically, if you've seen, like, the turf wars between him and Magmalo, yeah, it's just that is just so much things has been added to this game. It's crazy. Which, I mean, if you know Capcom with their updates with Monster Hunter World before, then yeah, you know what to expect here with Monster Hunter Rise. So a lot of new updates. Plus, they also revealed a roadmap as well to what they plan to do down the line. Of course, right now with DLC update 2.0 with new monsters, but also later down the line, I believe in the summer, they will be, of course, naturally having more monsters as well as the extra as a new ending. Because this is kind of like, I'm not sure we had discussed it before, but many reviewers have given this criticism that the game itself, the basic game, as I said, there is a basic ending. Yes, for if you like do the basic single player missions facing up against Magmalo, but there wasn't really actually a quote unquote true ending. So you do face like the true endgame boss, but there is no set ending after that. So it's just continue on to hunt and on and on until Capcom finally adds an ending to the game. So that's kind of like the one major criticism, that is not actually quote unquote finished, but this game has enough material itself that it is a complete product. So it's not like the whole Splatoon 1 situation, which is just bare bones. It is Monster Hunter Rise is a full product in itself. It's just, unfortunately, Capcom didn't really put a true ending, to say the least. So, but I'll wrap it up. But basically, it's like, yeah, they showed off new things as well as cross-game collaboration costumes if you have both save datas for either game. But overall, it just seems to be that shows that Capcom is continuing to bring continuous updates and life to this game, which, again, it is very very well received. So I'm happy that they're continuing to make updating this game as time goes on.
Yeah, and then on that line, Monster Hunter Rise has now been confirmed to have sold 6 million copies. Mm, 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 so yeah, this game is doing incredibly well.
Yep.
So I find this impressive because when it was announced, a lot of people were like, is this really going to be good on the Switch? You know, graphics this, gameplay that, blah, blah, blah. I don't think people mind.
Again, many people just forget. What's the reason you play games? It's definitely not about graphics. It's all about gameplay, which Nintendo does in spades, which many people forget. But yeah, just to see like 6 minutes. Confirmed 6 million sales worldwide. I mean, of course, naturally, Japan is definitely a good market for it. But since the game's release, yeah, many people just basically got into the hype of it. Yes, again, the basic criticism, the grindy, yada, 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 and just hope for RNG to give you the right materials. But it is a fun game just to play with, joining, be it friends or randoms, to fight these great monsters. And people have gotten that message. And the fact that Capcom's still going to continue to update this game is just, a testament to that. So yeah, 6 million sales and counting. Yeah, it's good. And that's just only on the Switch. Imagine how, once they go bring it to the PC,
Oh yeah, that is coming
which
to
that is
PC.
gonna go raise the number even further.
Yeah. It's interesting again, 'cause you don't think of the Nintendo platforms for Monster Hunter, or at least I personally don't. And
Okay.
so now that, Monster Hunter Rise has done so well, and potentially Monster Hunter Stories, which comes out in July. July's gonna be such a busy month.
Yes.
But now that it's done so well here, will this potentially become a mainstay of Monster Hunter in the future, especially if they make, like, say, Monster Hunter Rise 2 or something like that, It's possible. I don't know, and that's what makes it so interesting. So
It's definitely something to think about, because like now, as we kind of discussed this prior, like Capcom isn't really confident, to say the least, to in investing their IPs in the Switch platform, be it the Street Fighter and the prior titles. But with Monster Hunter, they got themselves a hit here.
Wow.
So it'll be very foolish of Capcom if they don't continue on to actually, yeah, invest, be it a Monster Hunter or something else entirely. So because yeah, if they make a good title like Monster Hunter Rise, yeah, it just only sells well. So perhaps they should, I don't know, invest in something else. I don't know, Darkstalkers or something of that sort.
Get your own idea. I've been saying Darkstalkers for
I know.
years.
I'm just saying, like, yeah, that's the first thing that popped in my mind. Or that's what other cap. Yeah, they kind of did the Ghosts and Goblins, which yeah, that's a mixed reception.
Yeah, I
Yeah,
heard that
yeah.
got mixed reception. I'm just like, why? I don't know. I never played the originals, so, to be fair, but I find it interesting that they're like, oh yeah, this isn't like, as good or better. It's always interesting how when the remakes or remasters or whatever retellings fail. Oh well.
It's definitely, yeah, Capcom definitely has some trouble with that. But
Yeah.
again, with Monster Rise, they got something else. So here's hoping they finally do something else. I mean, they are bringing, again, as we reported last week, they are bringing the Monster Hunter, the not Monster Hunter, Ace Attorney games, the Japanese Ace Attorney games here to the stateside.
Yeah.
So who knows? Hopefully it'll instill a bit more confidence. Yes, yeah, just put in some good games and we will buy them, Capcom. So
Yeah, I want my Ace Attorney 7.
yes.
Give it to me! Give me what I want! All right. Moving on to other sales news. Age of Hyrule. Sorry, Age of Calamity. From Hyrule Warriors. I typed in Age of Hyrule on accident.
I mean, granted, Age of Hyrule would actually make a nice, interesting spin-off title for Zelda, Age of
Yeah.
Hyrule.
But that game has apparently done 3.7 million sales so far, which I find interesting because it apparently did like 3 million in its first week, and yet now it's only done like 700,000 sales later? I mean, I'm checking out the article so I can remember, but I remember like us praising Age of Calamity when it did like 3 million sales within its first week, and now it's saying it's only like 3.7 million now. So, what? Yeah, there it is. So, as of the 24th of November, and the game I think came out on the 20th, Age of Hyrule sold three, or Age of Calamity. Now I got Age of Hyrule stuck in my head. Thanks. But it sold 3 million units, and as of, January 25th of this year, it was confirmed to be the highest selling Musou game of all
Yes,
time. And yet it still hasn't even gotten to 4 million. Did everybody seriously just go and buy this day one? I mean, this is not usually how it goes down. Like, look at Monster Hunter. It's been out a little over a month, and it's had like a nice steady rise. And rise, get it? But that was unintentional. But with Age of Calamity, it's like, okay, everyone bought it like on day one, and then it's just like, yeah, people like trickling in. Like, that isn't usually how this works.
My guess regarding to like the guy kind of a slow increase is because like obviously this game is meant for a certain audience. You either be
Yes.
like a Zelda fan or be a Musou fan, because like those who want to this game, like are clearly players who played Breath of the Wild. They want that extra story. They want that extra fan service. And that again, a lot of people bought it pretty much indeed day one. And now, after the months after release, like it really depends on what else. Like, are people, of course, naturally, be it if you're not well-known consumer, like, oh, this looks as another Zelda game, but people don't expect it to, like, oh, is it Breath of the Wild Zelda or is it a Musou Zelda, which probably people are getting confused at that, but that's just my guess. And for it to like trickle down like this, I guess maybe because it's just like, again, it's people bought who bought is bought Breath of the Wild, and after that is like who what is that? Unless like a very heavy Musou fan, which I mean, again, as Musou is infamous for its games, but it's really hard to say like if it has that pull, because like one, obviously it doesn't have DLC, which in itself it's a full title. It's a full title, but who else is it trying to advertise for? Is it for the casual or is it? Who is it trying to go for outside Zelda fans? So that's just one of my main guesses.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. All right, wait, we're not done with sales news yet, but this time we're going to go to consoles because we got some Nintendo Switch news. Because as of the last pay period, the Nintendo Switch has become the sixth best-selling console of all time there. At present, it has sold, this actually feels like kind of a low number, 19.4 million there. That'd be higher because remember the Switch is like at over 80 million, which means a large amount is from the US and then of course Europe and certain other regions. But yes, 19.4 million currently for the Switch. And okay, Will, I'm going to put it to you. Guess the five console slash handheld systems that are ahead of it.
Five console slash handheld systems are ahead of it.
Yeah, all time, and think Japan.
Let's see. PS2.
Yes, that is number four.
SNES.
Incorrect. That was not in the top 10. Oh, I'm
Da,
sorry. Oh, sorry. The Super Famicom, which is a Super Nintendo, that was number nine.
da, da. Okay, obviously not the Microsoft consoles, no way.
No, no, oh gosh, no.
Say, I know there has been some news regarding to like supposedly quote unquote the PS5 was selling great.
No.
Okay, that's good, that's
Well,
good.
dude, it hasn't even been a year of its release, so that would be really odd if it was skyrocketing that fast, don't you think?
The Wii.
No, actually. That's
Okay,
I'm actually a little surprised by that.
Yeah, okay, I don't know. Just lay it on me.
Okay.
What else?
Number five is the PSP.
Okay. Yeah,
And
okay.
that the Switch is more than likely going to overtake that by May, because it's only about like a couple hundred thousand. Number four is the PS2, as noted earlier. Number three is the 3DS.
Okay,
That,
okay,
yeah,
okay,
then
okay.
after that is the original Game Boy. And then finally, the DS. Yeah.
Okay.
So. But yeah, the Switch is currently at 19.4 million, and mo most people agree that by the midpoint of 2022, it'll be the number three bestseller. Don't know if it's gonna. I don't know if it'll reach the Game Boy and DS levels. I'm really surprised now that I think about it that the Wii isn't on here, because again, that was over 100 million sold. But then again, so was the PS4, and that's not in the top 10. So, just goes to show you region bias, I suppose. But yes, congrats to the Switch, and we will definitely be keeping apprised on the numbers as they come out. Because again, by next month, it's only like 200,000 difference between PSP and the Switch. So yeah, that'll be passed by May or June. So yeah, good for them. And then that'll mean that once the Switch has conquered, then the next two spots, then four of the top five systems all time in Japan are Nintendo platforms. And I am happy. Nintendo forever. So let's see. Moving on. Okay, Pokemon Snap. Now we can talk about this. Yeah. So there's a couple things to note. There's been a whole bunch of new gameplay videos and trailers released for this for new Pokemon Snap. So
And the
go and
reviews
check
are,
that.
and the reviews are, yeah, all
Yeah,
the reviews
I'm
are.
getting to that. I'm getting to that. Patience will.
Okay.
Anyway, so like one of the videos, they actually showcase the entire first area that you can go to in new Pokemon Snap. So go check that out. And then, yes, there are reviews out for the game. And based on ones that I've been seeing, it's a solid 8 out of 10.
Yep.
So, definitely a buy. And as predicted by me, this game, which I'm quoting some reviews here, is the perfect chill game. Yeah, baby. So, yeah, this is the game that you just go and you chill with. So, which is what I want. I want a game where I can just go and play and, take pictures of Pokemon. I don't ask for much. So,
Like from the reviews and the previews that's currently out right now, just this game itself is pretty much a straight sequel from the original Pokemon Snap, from just taking pictures and just like seeing the interaction. That again, that's the kind of the thing that about Pokemon, the original Pokemon Snap, which is now brought back here. It's just like I want to see the interactions, like what combination, what's the perfect shot, and just like of course, just the fact that there's night setting as well, not just simple one day, time slot in the day. It's just like night, day, morning, evening, dusk. It's just like now that all that custom combinations of the time and Pokemon is that's one thing I'm very excited for, and like Theo kind of brought this up on like not some websites out there also have like the total list of Pokemon, which is now it is indeed over 200 Pokemon.
And if you want to go look at that list, it is out there, or you can do what I'm going to do and just not look at the list, and that way you can be surprised, because obviously you already know some of the Pokemon, like Meganium and Pichu, Pikachu, and Grookey, and all of them. So, and Lapras, obviously Lugia has already been revealed via a trailer, but Celebi, obviously. But like, I'd rather be surprised, because that way I don't know what to expect, and then I can have that awe and wonder and whatever. So,
That's exactly what like want to look for, because like okay, who's that Pokemon? Oh, it's that Pokemon, even though I have not been in the Pokemon sphere for the whole past generations. I mean, okay, the first two generations, okay, I can easily get it. But these whole seven generations, eight generations, I don't even know how many generations. Pokemon expert, please help me. Just all these Pokemon, like, okay, let's see, is that, what is that? What's his name? What the heck? I don't know. So it's gonna be interesting, like how like people who have grown from the original Pokemon Snap, like ourselves, and now have to go to this generation. Unless you're a hardcore Pokemon fan, like, okay, that's a new Pokemon. Like, oh my god, oh my god, I've been frozen for so long time. Well, I've been living under a rock for so long.
As a hardcore Pokemon fan, I will admit that I don't openly remember all the Pokemon. Yes, I know, forgive me. But there are just so many. And even I'm like, wait a minute, that's Klefki. Yeah, that's Klefki. So, I'm pretty good with most of them, but I will always remember an OG Pokemon anime episode. Ash is trying to get a badge from an academy kind of gym thing, and they do the Who's That Pokemon game, and they totally screw with them, because they show this round Pokemon, and Ash is like, oh, it's a Voltorb, and James or Jesse is like, no, it's an Electrode, and the teacher goes, no, it's a Jigglypuff looking from above, and like, you dick, that's cheating. Okay, you could do that with so many Pokemon. Oh, it's this Pokemon when you look at it from above. That's not the point.
And the fact that you also take a Pokemon quiz question, like, what is the swirl on this Pokemon? Oh, it's a Poliwag. Like, holy moly, these tusks. I still actually remember taking those kind of quizzes back in the original, like, I think in Pokemon Stadium or Pokemon Stadium 2. Yeah, I think it was in the second Pokemon Stadium, which actually had those quiz kind of questions, which is, yeah, it was brutal. It was brutal.
Oh, such is life. Okay, also on the new Pokemon Snap news, we actually got confirmation of something that fans have been wanting to know for literally decades. Okay, the question of why wasn't there a sequel before this? Okay, so according to the director of new Pokemon Snap, Haruki Suzaki, he was talking with Metro, and he noted, quote, "When I started on this project, I had heard there had been a couple of attempts at making a new Pokemon Snap before. The idea of photography has changed so much in the last 20 years, combined with the new Nintendo Switch hardware, that we thought it was the perfect time to create a new version of Pokemon Snap, and that's why we started the project." End quote. So apparently some people had tried to make a new Pokemon Snap, but they didn't succeed until new Pokemon Snap. So interesting. Although, and many of us would argue that actually the Wii U was the perfect system to bring it back. Sales aside, obviously, but because of the whole dual screen feature, you could have had your gamepad be the camera, and then you had to hold it up to the screen to take the shot like a real camera. So I still cry missed opportunity on that one, but we're getting the game. It's out now at the time of this release, so at least we got it.
I
So
mean, heck, so I believe there's gyroscope controls as well, so you can actually camera it. It is that Wii U feature that should have been before.
yeah.
So yeah, so now you can live out those Wii U dreams.
Yeah, there's a lot going on here, but at least we now know that someone at Nintendo did at least try and make to the next Pokemon Snap game, and it's here. Finally, we can be happy. All right, this one's not necessarily a Nintendo story just yet, but it's a curious one because if you remember the Injustice titles, the first of which was on the Wii U, NetherRealm is a big video game maker. They, of course, made Mortal Kombat and, or they make, I guess I say they're making the current Mortal Kombat games, and Injustice, among other things. And there's a report going around that they might be working on a Marvel title. Yeah, and so everyone's thinking it's just going to be a Marvel fighting game, which we technically have had before via Marvel Nemesis, but it wasn't exactly the best game ever. And of course, we all remember what happened with Marvel versus Capcom. Yeah, so people wondering is NetherRealm making a Marvel fighting game? That would be interesting. So, it can't be any buggier than Avengers.
I mean, it's for them for NetherRealm to make a Marvel game. Like, that would be something. Like, again, they have dabbled in the superhero genre before with Injustice and all that. So, for them to actually dabble in Marvel heroes, that would be something. I mean, they are the top of their crop in the fighting game.
Oh, absolutely.
So,
Oh,
yeah.
outside of Smash Brothers, obviously.
Okay, Mr. Culture, Smash Brothers.
Yes.
Yeah, so like the possibilities are there. I can definitely see. So if NetherRealm should decide to go and take on Marvel, I mean, heck, Capcom, they ain't doing everything with the Marvel heroes for so long, so why not? So
Yeah. Of course, the big rumor is that because they were the people behind Injustice, that they might be working on a Marvel versus DC fighting game. I don't think that's going to happen for various reasons, but you never know. Just saying. So we'll see how this goes, but yeah. I'm very curious about it. NetherRealm does really great work. They are very detailed. And again, the Injustice games were like really great story titles as well as fighting games. So if they can get their hands on Marvel and get to do the same thing, that'd be pretty awesome. So just as long as they bring it to Switch, that's all I ask. All right, next up we have Castlevania news. Oh my gosh. So first of all, yes, Castlevania Season 4 has gotten its trailer release. Go and watch that. But the more important gaming news is that Capcom has announced a, or sorry, Konami has announced a Castlevania Anniversary Collection Classic Edition, a Bloodlines Edition, and an Ultimate Edition. Because why the heck not? Okay, so you're like, okay, well, what's all in this thing? Okay, here's what we got. So this is being done by Limited Run Games, which, if you recall, is a physical release platform that releases a literal limited amount, and then you can get it to see what you want. The Classic Edition is a copy of the Castlevania Anniversary Collection, which in this case is, it's a lot. It's weird. I'm looking at an article and it doesn't actually tell me the games in the edition. I mean, like, you have one job. You have one job. I'll look up another platform. But in addition to the games, which I will totally find right now, you could also get a soundtrack, a reversible poster. I mean, you wanna, how old school can you get? I mean, it's reversible. So, then you also will get a retro style dust sleeve. And a nostalgic retro box with metallic ink. Okay, that just isn't it like a double negative, a nostalgic retro? I mean, if you could say a nostalgic box, okay, yeah, a nostalgic retro box. Like, is it kind of the same thing? You know? Because they're both old. Like, what do you want? Hey. All right. Okay, I'm on the web. Here we go. So. Okay, here we go. The Castlevania University Collection. Wow. Here we go. In the game, in this collection, you will get the original Castlevania, Castlevania II: Simon's Quest, Castlevania III: Dracula's Curse, Super Castlevania IV, Castlevania: The Adventure, Castlevania II: Belmont's Revenge. That's the Game Boy one. Castlevania Bloodlines and Kid Dracula. That's a
Ah,
thing?
yes,
That?
it only was available in Japan only. Yes,
Oh,
and it
man.
was actually a trophy as well in Smash Bros. Live, by the way.
That says so much, doesn't it? So yeah, this is like the old school classic Castlevania games before Symphony of the Night on a PlayStation. So yeah, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's 8 games. That's actually impressive. Okay, for the Bloodlines edition, you'll get all the games, the soundtrack, a reversible 8x12 poster by Tom DeBoy. Okay, all housed in a deluxe clamshell case, which I guess is good. I don't know what thing is a cl what's clamshell. That's a clamshell. That sounds like a Pokemon. And then the ultimate edition. You'll get the games, the soundtrack, the reversal poster, the dust sleeve, the original soundtrack, a History of Castlevania Book of the Crescent Moon, art prints, sorry, retro art prints, the steel book, and a miniature replica box collection.
I'm looking at the image itself from Limited Run Games, and it is quite the package, especially if you want like that whole nostalgic feeling back on during the NES days, which yeah, it's been such a long time. And yeah, th this is probably probably the most respectable thing Konami has done in such a long time with their IPs. Like, okay, finally, like the ultimate Castlevania classic collector's edition. And yeah, right now it will be up in, I believe, in 14 days' time on May 14th. If you want that limited ultimate collection, that is going to cost you at $175, and that's before taxes and shipping.
And shipping.
So like, I know our Koopa boss Koopa Keith wants this thing because again, he's a big Castlevania fan. But yeah, just looking at this product, I mean, I have ordered some things from the Limited Run Games before. Again, the fact they have to wait 5 months afterward, yeah, it's a pain in the butt. But overall, if you want to have these physical games in your collection, be it PS4 or Switch, yeah, this is probably the next best thing right now. And yeah, gotta say, the packaging itself, not too shabby. Not too shabby.
So, yeah, if you're a Castlevania fan, go and enjoy, because this is the only enjoyment outside the anime you're gonna get. All right. You know, it's true. And Metal Gear fans are like, yeah, I know, man. It's so bad. And then I heard that apparently Konami renewed the trademarks for Castlevania and Metal Gear. Yeah. So prepare for Metal Gear Survive 2.
Oh, no, God, please, no.
Yes, we'll suffer. So, and Kojima looks better every day. So, all right. Last but arguably most ironic, there was a major update given to Super Mario Party the other day. Now, to refresh your memory, Super Mario Party released on the Switch in like later 2018. I think it was like September, I believe. Give or take. And it sold very well. Like, it's one of the better selling games on the Switch. So it's awesome. And then, like, basically 2.5 years later, they decide, hey, let's do a massive online update. And you're like, well, that's not odd. Well, it is when you consider they haven't done anything of this scale before.
Yes, and
All
just
right.
for record, the release date was on October 5th, 2018.
There
Yes.
you go. So basically 2.5 years later, they decided to do a free update for Super Mario Party, and it adds an online play to the board game mode, 70 new mini games, and a 2v2 partner party mode. So again, this isn't a bad thing, but it's not like Animal Crossing where like they were slowly doing updates to keep you playing for a long time. This just dropped. Like nobody was really expecting this, and it's like,
Yeah, weird timing
okay.
if anything else. 'Cause like when the game first came out, like a lot of people just complained. That was definitely one of the main criticisms, that there is no online play, even though we're in the age of multiplayer online. I mean, sure, local multiplayer is definitely a thing that many people love. Definitely, sure, no doubt about that. But now we're kind of in that age of online multiplayer, which, like, yeah, the fact we can't, I don't know, see each other's friends house, be it, I don't know, be it personal reasons or, I don't know, a bloody pandemic. So maybe perhaps that option of having an online multiplayer to connect with your friends would have been a nice thing to have at release. But it took me, yeah, pretty much took 4 years, yeah, 4 years since then. Oh yeah, for give or take, and is I'm sorry, my math, but yeah, just it took this all, many years to finally update this online add-on update for now. You can actually play with for your friends online, which okay. I mean, I would appreciate that if it, like 1 week, 1 year ago or 2 years ago, but no, the fact that you had to do this thing now is like, okay, if you haven't bought Super Mario Party yet, fine. This is definitely a good time to get it now. But the fact that people who are early adopters is like, where was this? Where was this when I was playing? So it's definitely an interesting, weird update to say the least. But the fact that Nintendo finally put an update, like, okay, here, you finally got it. You made your criticisms valid. Here, you have your online multiplayer now. Be happy. Okay, thanks, Nintendo.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is gonna be I still know, like I didn't get this game. I'm not playing this game, but that's just after so long.
It's definitely weird timing to say the least. So like that's kind of one thing that I just hope that Nintendo definitely keeps in mind in their future products. Like, yeah, if there is something that's like blatantly obvious that should have been at release, like local online multiplayer, then yeah, perhaps you should have thought about that during R&D. But so the fact that only now they did that this update is like, oh, okay, we probably should have done that a long time ago. Yeah, that kind of mentality.
Yeah. So, I mean, Nintendo, you do you. That you've done, that's all you've done for most of your lives.
Yep,
So, all right, and now we head to our main event. We decided let's do a little something different. Let's talk new Pokemon Snap, but in a way that makes it a little bit more immersive. What if Pokemon were real? And it really was your job to go and travel the world and take their pictures, among other things, obviously. We're going to talk about what Pokemon you'd love to see in the wild the most, what companion Pokemon you'd love to have for your journey, and a few other things. And we're going to do this in a Nintendo discussion. Okay, so I know this may seem kind of odd topic, but we've all imagined that Pokemon are real at one point or another. Let's just be honest with ourselves here. All right, we've all dreamed about like our dream teams, you know, who you'd love to have, you know, the kind of journeys you wanted to, you know, embark on. So if Pokemon Snap were real, what would be some Pokemon that you'd love to see in the wild to get their picture? And I'm gonna go right for the jugular and say Suicune. All right, because everyone's gonna be thinking about like the regular Pokemon, the common Pokemon, you know? Like, there are going to be some people who want to see Blossom in Flower Fields because it'll look pretty. It will undeniably be pretty. I'm not going to deny that. Or they're going to see the skies filled with bird Pokemon so you can see them traveling in their flocks. And undeniably, that would be really cool. But I think of this as a once-in-a-lifetime shot. Like, those photographers who are able to go to a spot and perfectly capture a moment with such beauty that it's remembered forever. And I feel that with Suicune. Because imagine, like, being in a forest area and, like, a certain anime showed, it suddenly starts to mist. And you're like, well, what's going on here? And then you see Suicune, like, perched on a rock, or being, like, it's a lake purifier, as in canon, and or like, being at a lake and drinking from water, and you catch it right when it looks at you, and right before it bursts off into the mist clouds to disappear. And I'm like, that would be a moment that would like define your Snap career. Because you caught a legendary Pokemon in the wild, being very natural, and like that would just be so freaking cool.
Like that is definitely how to kind of capture that feeling in the original Pokemon Snap intro, if I recall correctly. Because like, yeah, you're just out in the woods, out in nature, doing, trying to get the Pokemon, and then you hear that rustle, like, what was that? And then you only see that tail of Mew, which, yeah, that's definitely, like, I think a lot of, like, if you were a photographer in the Pokemon world, that's something you want to, like, really try to get. Like, I'm starting to, like, draw parallels right now into, like, in real-life photography, like, be it if you be landscapes or animals themselves, like you always see these photos, like you want to capture them in their own natural habitat. You don't want to disturb them. But of course, naturally, some Pokemon or animals just suddenly walk up next to you. Like, I'm not sure you saw this YouTube video, like a bear literally walked up to a photographer and just sitting next to him. Which, yes, which, that would be scary as heck, but like, no.
I don't think I could bear that.
Yeah, have an Ursaring be right next to you. That will be something. But yeah, just the fact that photographers try to like get that shot right then and there that really captures that essence of nature of itself. Yeah, that's, I can only imagine, like, if it were in the Pokemon world, like, what else do you want to like capture? Because we have some indications, we had some hints with, of course, naturally the Detective Pikachu movie of how it would be in reality. So I don't know, when you want to catch Pokemon in their natural habitat, capture them in a human civilization, there's just like a lot of things which also can also draw parallels to other games like Hey You Pikachu or even Pokemon Channel, which yeah, it definitely raises the possibilities.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, like, again, like, not unlike Ash or Go or certain other trainers and such, you know, it's those moments that inspire you. And if you really think about it, you have to be a certain kind of person to want to just travel the world and take pictures of Pokemon. Because, and I know this is a different point entirely, but you notice that no one actually talks about pay in the Pokemon world, because this is a, I mean, the only, in the games you get paid by beating trainers, but they never explain how they get the pay. And if there's two trainers going at each other, like right off the bat, none of them has like hundreds of dollars to spare. And like, Pokemon centers are free. The marts cost, but you never see that in the anime. The anime is even more stingy that they don't mention how Ash pays for anything. All right, from the Pokemon food to staying in the centers and getting stuff at marts and all that, they don't explain how pay works at all. So you have to be a person that, you know, knows that this is like their livelihood and has to be dedicated. Even then, you need like that spark to say, I want to recapture that moment. That's why I say Suicune right off the bat, because that's a moment to say, like, hey, I got this picture of a legendary, and everyone's like, well, can you get another one? And then you're like, okay, I'll travel the world. I'll see who another legendary Pokemon I can meet. And that would be your motivation. It's like, is this the day I see a new legendary Pokemon? Is this the day I see a new legendary Pokemon? And you'll still appreciate the commons. Like, that's undeniable. There's a lot of beauty in the Pokemon world. That's why a lot of us wish it was real. why is that so funny? I mean it.
No. I get what it's like, because I'm really getting that parallel of Mr. Jameson. Like, I want a picture of that Suicune. I want a picture of that Ho-Oh. I want to get that picture of Lugia or to capture Team Rocket. What about give me that pictures of those Pokemon? Something of that sort.
Okay. Well, what about you? What What Pokemon would you love to catch a picture of in the wild?
Oh man, like obviously with all these generation Pokemon, I have nowhere to go to. But personally for me, I always had a interesting fixation with Ho-Oh. Like we always had, we did see him in the first generation. Of course, naturally we see him again in other later seasons. But for some reason, Ho-Oh is definitely that again. He's been called the sacred bird Pokemon, the Phoenix. Like aside from like Moltres, of course. But I don't know with Ho-Oh, it's just definitely like he only appears after a rainbow. That and for if I remember my lore correctly,
You're right, yes.
like when we see him just like apparently is an indication of what is to come and all that, like that is definitely a rare scene. Like here, like just to draw parallels here in the real world, like there'll be times like when you see like storms and then for some reason there in that perfect moment, even though it's raining, it's still sunny out and you see that rainbow, or even rarer, a double rainbow. And like even though it's still raining, it's sunny out. It's kind of like in that same feeling. So when I think about in parallels like to it, what would be like to actually see Ho-Oh after a rainbow, like I'm kind of imagining of that. Like with other, of course, like the different parallels to different mythologies, like the whole I'm not sure you had this moment yourself, Atad, but like when it's just it's raining out of nowhere, but there's still the sun out, like
Yeah, I've been
that kind of
there.
moment. Yeah, like that is just one of those most surreal things ever to happen. I mean, you can be it cultural mythologies or anything. There's a lot of different stories of what that means, but when I think about like those kind of moments, like that's when I imagine what Ho-Oh probably would come out, and especially during like the rainbow season, and like. How would it be to see those sacred flames like just going on? Like perhaps it's the Eastern origins within me, but I always had a great fixation with going to Phoenixes and how like Ho-Oh and the crown just kind of works in the lore. So if I ever actually have a chance to actually take a picture of Ho-Oh, that would probably be something that really would be like, whoa, this is Ho-Oh. And the fact that we're gonna take Lugia in new Pokemon Snap, so I don't know. Like Ho-Oh definitely seems to have that fixation for me. I just want to see like those golden flames that it's been known for.
Ah, interesting choice. Interesting choice. All right, so let's see. Back to me. Oh, there's so many. Like that's like another thing I really want to see with Pokemon Snap is that, we could picture via the anime and even something like sort. Can you let me finish before you do that? Anyway, as I was saying, as the anime, and even the like Sword and Shield have shown us, you can kind of guess like the natural habitats that these Pokemon would go and be at. But there's there I go going back to the surprises. I'd love to see a Pokemon kind of out of its habitat, like one that it doesn't feel like it fits there, and yet it surprises you with how it adapts to the area. Like say an ice Pokemon in a very sunny spot. Like how is it surviving? Isn't it supposed to be melting right now? And yet it figures out a way, like it makes an ice shelter or something like that, and it just surprises you because this would be like not unlike a Pokemon researcher or a professor, like this would be a great chance to see the Pokemon interacting in a way or interacting with both themselves and the environment in a way that you don't expect. And if you're a trainer, you don't care because you're just looking to catch the dang thing. But with as a photographer, you're looking for the best shot. And so if you see like a Pokemon just walking around, you're gonna wait for it to do something interesting. And like that moment where it just interacts with its environment in a way you don't expect would be something kind of revelatory, and they give you that inspiration. It's like, oh, if this Pokemon's doing this, what's another Pokemon gonna do? And like that would be again another inspiration for you to travel around the world because it's like, okay, we think we know everything about Pokemon, and then as you again like the anime shows, we don't know as much as we think we do. So and like that's part of the beauty is that you're not just taking pictures, but you're learning, and that learning experience can help you take even better pictures as you become more patient and wait for them to reveal themselves in a certain way to you. So I think that would be very fun as well.
It's like that's kind of what pretty much like the main mechanic in Pokemon and new Pokemon Snap, regarding to the whole grading system, which like that like you think that there is a 5-star shot right there. Well, also just also that little moments that they try to grade your pictures. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Like you want to get that perfect moment, that perfect spot, just that right spot, which I'm really glad that in the game you actually can alt, just move a little bit to the right or to the left in case your shot wasn't as perfect, which highly appreciated that. So yeah, just that continuation of getting that shot, of course, naturally that share feature that's going to be shared with the rest of with the world, which once it releases, that thing, I can only imagine what kind of like snapshots, even filters, or what kind of creations many other people is going to put into the world. So yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So now let's change it to a question that I always found ironic was that, again, Pokemon Snap was inspired by the character of Todd, from the original anime, or at least that's how I always perceived it. But Todd didn't have a Pokemon. Todd never had a Pokemon. That was half the point, was that he was just a photographer of Pokemon. He never had the urge to catch Pokemon himself for one reason or another. And that's fine. That's his choice. But for me, I would want a Pokemon or two or ten to go with me on my journeys because of, you know, I would want to go to areas that a human can't naturally travel on their own. So what Pokemon would we want to go with us on our journeys? And I'm going to start off with two. So the first one is my personal favorite of all 10 Pokemon. It's Ampharos.
Okay.
I know some people are like, oh, you're going to say Pikachu. No, go away, Pikachu. You're Ash's Pokemon. But I want Ampharos because Ampharos, obviously, as an electric type, can light up dark rooms. And in fact, he is a lighthouse Pokemon, as is canon in Johto. So its tail is able to light itself up as well as its headpiece or head jewel. So that means that I'm never going to be in a dark area, which is, you know, something that, especially in an actual real world of Pokemon, like the manga likes to showcase, it could be kind of scary.
Right.
There are Pokemon that literally try and steal your souls and steal your children. It's canon. look it up. Drifloon. Look it up. Okay. Anyway, but with Ampharos, I know I'm never going to be in a dark area, so that's going to be good. Electricity would be able to help me in certain other situations. But the other one I would want is I would want Gardevoir.
Okay.
Okay, and for the simple reason that Gardevoir is a psychic type. And psychic types can levitate and fly through the air through its psychic powers. And that would be great for me because that means I could maybe like have Gardevoir levitate me right up to the top of a tree to catch a Pokemon picture, or fly me up to, say, like the top of a mountain instead of having to drudge up there inch by inch. And if I needed something, like, say, like some fruit or a Pokefruit or whatever, I could just have Gardevoir grab it for me. And the psychic ability, there's a reason that psychic types are technically like one of the most powerful Pokemon types out there outside of dragons. Mm-hmm. It's because they're so versatile. And when you're trying to get a perfect Pokemon shot and you're trying not to spook the Pokemon, it may be odd to think that levitating to them is a good idea, but if you're going to get the shot, you need to be as close as possible without spooking them. And having a psychic type like Gardevoir, which is also one of my favorites, is a perfect example of that. So Ampharos for, you know, electricity and light and all that, and then Gardevoir for power and mobility.
All right. So more or less we're thinking about how of utility-based Pokemon, basically.
Yeah, well, I am a photographer, Will. I am a photographer.
Oh, man. So, I mean, if we go into that route, like,
you don't have to. But I'm just saying, like, for me, I was thinking more of, like, you know, I'm a photographer. I need Pokemon to help me. If you just want to have Pokemon to go with you, by all means.
The one thing that probably say, like, I think the Pokemon anime has definitely shown much of, which I think you could pretty much use them in any situation. Definitely a Corviknight. I'll definitely agree with the recent generation shows. Is like having Corviknight around you, just the fact that it can actually lift a bloody taxi, an air car taxi, is like, okay. Like, out of all, like, definitely the big bird Pokemon from Pidgeot, all that, like the basic common bird, large bird Pokemon, yeah, Corviknight definitely seems to be like one of the utility, as well as just one of the stronger bird-based Pokemon. So yeah, Corviknight, just the fact you can fly around and just go like pretty much terrains over and on under, just how strong it is. Yeah, Corviknight is definitely probably the good Pokemon to have around with you, aside if you don't have like Pidgeot and all that sort. And if there's another Pokemon that probably wants to be with me, I mean, a quick random thought I had was probably I want to have a cliff key because of the fact that, okay, in case I have to go, I don't know, lock out of my door or Pokemon Center, oh, I can just have cliff key, open, use the keys it has to open the door and I won't be locked out again. So that was just a random thought I had. But how is it going to help with Pokemon, taking a snapshot of Pokemon? I have no idea. So that was just a random thought. But if there's another Pokemon that I just want to have, ah man, like I guess I'll probably just go with the fact that I was part of this game for so long. I just probably have Grookey, not Grookey, not Grookey, Savo, 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 Savo. I have Savo.
Why
I
would you want?
died
Why would you
though.
want Sobble? I mean, come on.
Well, again, just want to go and keep it. Like I will forever protect Savo. You will. I will protect this baby, and no one will ever say. And like, yeah, probably not. Probably the best quote unquote Pokemon to have when taken on a trip, on a photographic trip. Granted, but yeah, you never know. Just again, that's Screech. You never know. Could get something out of it. Perhaps it's more of a defensive mechanism, to say the least. Or heck, you never know. If it evolves down the line, it actually can be super that secret ancient Pokemon that will become later on down the line. So I don't know. It's just a random thought, to say the least. But I always had a as since the release of Sword and Shield, I always had an appreciation with Sobble. And I know everyone here, of course, like Tyler out there, trying to say like, no, come on, Grookey gang for life and all that. And
Score
you with
Bunny, obviously,
and you
superior
with
choice.
Squirtle, yes, and yes, and even the show of the house Squirtle is such a tsundere when he in this second form, which we don't get. But yeah, first thing for me, I'll definitely have Sabo with me on my game, just like I'll probably it's just so cute. Oh, that I mean, and just another random, I probably even get Snom, and maybe as another Pokemon,
Nom.
probably. I know, it's random, I know, but Snom, I kind of start to have a slight appreciation for, but I digress. I know it's random. I have random thoughts. Like again, I'm not the whole current up-to-date Pokemon like you, old Pokemon
Hey, I'm a Pokemon nerd and I'm proud of it, Will, okay? It's like, I know. Like, I can still do the Pokemon rap, okay? Oh, yeah, God catch them all. And if we're going to
nerd.
do Pokemon for comfort's sake, then I'm going to bring in my all-time favorite starter of Cyndaquil. All
Ah,
right?
okay, that's
The
good. Okay, yeah.
superior starter Pokemon. And for no other reason than, heat. Because if I'm going to like cold places, I'm gonna need a fire Pokemon to keep my Swirl warm, and of course Cyndaquil can start fire between the wand's back and Ember and Flamethrower and Flame Wheel and all that stuff. And of course, as it evolves into the superior Typhlosion, it'll be very, very helpful and just a great attack power Pokemon. So I'll have an electric Pokemon, a fire type, and a psychic type. So I'm good. I'm good. World's best photographer right here. And I can say that because my name is Todd. Yeah, like it's all seriousness. I know it's this sounds like just us like randomly, picking a topic, but I really wish we could do this. I really do.
It is definitely like the ideas of a parallel world. Like, if the Pokemon world was real, I mean, again, that's what keeps our imaginations alive, our creativity alive. And yeah, should if Pokemon, like, I don't know, another parallel world, if Pokemon was indeed real and we actually can take photographs out there, like, yeah, it's just kind of like those things that really open things up a bit more. I mean, again, it's bad enough that reality is what it is, reality, but we could always dream, of course, with Pokemon. I guess that's kind of what they tried to did with a Hey You Pikachu. So if Pikachu was real and we see all these different Pokemon and we can actually interact with them, and of course naturally as the evolution goes on with Detective Pikachu movie and everything else, is like, yeah, I kind of want to be in that Pokemon world instead of what we call here in reality. I don't want to pay bills. I don't want to pay taxes. I want to go on an adventure.
Yeah, I definitely don't want to pay taxes. So, oh, my poor bank account. Anyway, and with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Dollar! I don't care that you're not here. Tell me the dank pod or the poll results. What do you mean, look it up myself? That takes effort. I'm doing enough to hold this podcast together. Fine, be that way. All right, last week we did our boss fight battle, and we asked, which of these boss fights is your favorite? We had King K. Rool from Donkey Kong Country 2. We had Senator Armstrong from Texas. I mean, Metal Gear Rising Revengeance. Sephiroth, no explanation needed. And a Sheera from Fire Emblem Radiant Dawn. And the winner was King K. Rool.
Damn, yeah, I'm seeing the results. Yep.
Sephiroth got no votes.
Oh, man.
How? And yes, I acknowledge that we didn't have a lot of votes, well, and I accept that. But you think that, you know, Sephiroth would have got one. I mean, he's a freaking one-winged angel.
I guess it's not quote-unquote favorite because, again, how much he's a pain he is to fight against. The fact that his supernova can actually cause status ailments, like, which nobody wants to fight against. So
no.
I guess that's the reason why.
Yeah. Fine. Be that way. What?
And yeah, just to finish up, like, yeah, again, King K. Rool is, you see all these different forms he can take. He's definitely a memorable fight, to say the least.
I'm gonna say he's not, but it's just like, really? You know, King K. Rool? I mean, like, Sephiroth gets no votes. I don't know.
No love for the one winged angel.
Oh, boy. Anyway, so. We will have no poll question this week, but next week we'll definitely be talking more about new Pokemon Snap, as well as everything else that might happen. You never know, we might get surprised by what else shows up. You never know. So, for Wario Will and the spirit of Tellius Tyler, I am Triforce Todd, and ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time, but we are not out of lives. We made it to the end of the level, so raise the flag!